Argument is Stinnett, and we thank you, Ms. Porter, also. Next art case, Stinnett versus Chicago, Mr. Fox.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Ed Fox, and I represent the plaintiff appellate, Gregory Stinnett. This appeal is here following the grant of summary judgment in favor of the City of Chicago and against my client, Gregory Stinnett. Gregory Stinnett is an African-American paramedic for the fire department, and he sought a promotion from the fire department. And he sought to be promoted off an eligibility list that they had created. The evidence was that despite having numerous vacancies throughout the year 2007, the city did not engage in any further promotions until a new eligibility list in 2008 was created and identified, and the list was posted. And the new list, they then immediately promoted 11 persons for 10 vacancies, and there were no African Americans on that new list because they had tested, and my client as well as the other African Americans at that point had graded lower on the subsequent test. The issues that the district court decided that we respectfully submit are incorrect were basically twofold. One was that the analysis of the similarly situated prong of the McDonnell-Douglas test, we believe, was decided wrong. And the reason for that is because the district court looked at the rankings of the persons. Two white persons got promoted ahead of plaintiff who were ranked ahead of plaintiff. And the district court looked at that and said these folks were ranked one score above plaintiff. They had the same score, but they had a little more seniority, which gave them a higher ranking. And the court said since they had a higher ranking, they weren't similarly situated, and therefore you lose and you don't establish a prima facie case on that count. We believe it's incorrect because the proper analysis, we believe, should be is whether or not promotions were of similarly situated persons were taken under similar conditions, or in other words, whether promotions were done under conditions similar to which the two white folks were promoted just before plaintiff. And by that, what we mean is that when the white folks were promoted, what the evidence was at that time was that there was a viable list, and this viable list was created in the year 2000. There were manpower needs that necessitated promotions of folks to this field officer position, and they did it. Plaintiff was next in line. They didn't engage again in a promotion, even though for the entire year of 2000, almost every month, more vacancies were opening up.
2007.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
During the course of the year 2007, almost every month, additional vacancies were opening up, and they weren't engaging in any promotion practices. This was also despite the fact that the collective bargaining agreement that governs the employer-employment relationship mandated that there be a viable list in place at all times, which there was. It was a 2000 list in place, and mandated that promotions occur within 45 days of there being
The list was from 2000?
Correct.
And your client was passed over when?
He was passed over in 2006 and 2007.
Well, wasn't that list awfully stale?
Well, it wasn't. It was an older list, but it wasn't illegally or improperly stale. The list could be used for as long as 8 years under the contract.
But over a period of that length, you get a lot of new people coming to work and so on.
Right, and
it really handicaps the employer if he's stuck with that list.
That may be true, but the two folks that got promoted ahead of them were promoted ahead of him by a month. Basically, they were promoted February 16th, and there was the next opening was indisputably as of March 1st. And they knew about that opening that was going to occur several months before that time. So even though, as Your Honor correctly points out, the list was old, they were still promoting on it, off of it, and the list was not illegally old. It was still something that they could use and were using.
Mr. Fox, what evidence is there that Mr. Noy or anybody else who made the critical decision, in essence, to stop using the 2000 list and wait for the new list to come in, what evidence is there that they knew the race of either the next person on the list or the next several people on the list?
Well, most importantly, when Greg Stinnett was not promoted along with the two folks in front of him, he immediately filed a grievance with the office in January of 2007, and then an email went back and forth shortly after that.
Did he charge race discrimination in those documents?
Yes, he immediately felt it was based on his race.
And did those documents get to Mr. Noy?
Yes. In fact, because an email went back and forth from him shortly after the grievance that he filed. So at any rate, we feel that the district court, if any time there's going to be an eligibility list, you're not going to have a similarly situated prong in the way the district court analyzed it.
Can I take you back to the collective bargaining agreement argument that you
sure.
made? As I understand it, the district court did not address that. You're telling us that the collective bargaining agreement required that any vacancies be filled within 45 days. Right?
Correct.
We also have evidence indicating that promotions for this particular level happened about once a year.
Correct.
And presumably vacancies accumulated over the course of each of those years. So if there was a violation of the written terms, it certainly seems as if the practice was to tolerate the roughly once a year batch of promotions to this position.
Well, as Your Honor notes, there was a roughly once a year promotion rate. I don't know if what the conditions were in the previous years of whether or not there were violations of the collective bargaining agreement in the
Your theory would tell us that there had to have been, nobody did anything about it. Which, in a normal contract case, we just say, well, that's kind of the law of the contract here. Everybody, no matter what the document says, everybody was ignoring that and tolerating the practice.
But the problem was, and typically in past promotions, there were far more people promoted. In this promotion that happened in early 2007 for the two white folks, there were only two white folks promoted as opposed to a wider number of folks that could have been promoted, and plaintiff was the next in line. And that was part of the problem with that, since they knew at the time. I don't know the exact numbers of field officers that were promoted in years past, although I do know that the numbers were much higher at that point in time. So, the fact that the collective bargaining agreement may have been violated in the past, I just don't know the answer to that other than to say that it was violated in this instance, and which also I suppose brings me to the next issue, which dovetails with the similarly situated prong. When we were embarking on the litigation of this case, we kept asking, why didn't you just promote more folks? And you had increasing manpower needs. In fact, the manpower needs were so great that the amount of overtime that was being worked caused some paramedics to be earning more money than the fire commissioner. So you had increasing numbers available. You had a viable list from which to promote. Why didn't you promote? A whole year went by without a promotion, and the numbers kept getting greater. And so we asked that question, and the initial answer that came out was, in interrogatory answers, was that we didn't do it because there was no budgetary approval at that time. That answer turned out to be false. And he admitted it was false at his deposition. So the answer kept changing, and we kept, in during the course of the deposition discovery, asking, why didn't you do it? What was stopping you? And the answers changed from no budgetary approval to there was no viable list, which that turned out to be false, too, because there was a viable list, to the answer at one point turned out to be, well, we didn't do it because we didn't do it. We just made a discretionary decision not to do it. The answer turned out to be, at one point, we didn't do it because we decided to do a new test, which would have been fine and good, but after they decided to do the new test, they still promoted these two white folks. They decided to do the new test in December of 06. The two white folks that immediately preceded Stinnett were promoted February 16th of 07. So
the defense is telling us that their promotion was in, those promotions were in the works, though, well before that. Is that right?
They were in the works only in the sense that they had requested approval for two more people, and that was within weeks, if not days, before they decided that they were not going to do a new test. So within weeks, if not days, before, at the end of November, they request approval for two more folks, in November, end of November of 06. And then in December, they say, we're going to do a new test. And that's the time. But they never come out with a memo or anything saying, we're not going to promote off this 2007 list, the 2000 list. And they never say in any other form, in any other document, we're not going to promote off this list. They don't do it until 2008. And at that point, they say, at that point when they have a new list, they have sent out a memo saying the 2000 list is
Judge St. Eve said you didn't give You didn't give her any details on these 11 people on the list out of which they promoted to. How much more seniority did they have than Stinnett?
Well, the reason why we didn't give her any more detail on the 11 people is because they were from the new. They were certainly not similarly situated, and we conceded that they were.
Well,
new.
Who are the similarly situated?
The similarly situated are the two folks that got promoted under conditions that were the same as when plaintiffs should have been promoted. The two folks that were promoted in February of 2007. And they were promoted under conditions that we contend were the same conditions that existed throughout the year under which plaintiffs should have been promoted.
So you're not comparing him with someone who was promoted. You're just saying that there was a vacancy, he should have been promoted. Is that what you're saying?
We're saying two persons got promoted February 16th of 2007. The conditions under which they were promoted are the same as the conditions that existed throughout the year, and it's been our contention, the plaintiff should have been promoted, same conditions.
Thank you, Mr. Ms. Layton?
May it please the Court. Your Honors, because the Chicago Fire Department was in the process...
So what if anything is wrong with what Mr. Fox just said? He said they promoted these two people, they had the money for a third, and they had a lot of vacancies. And, so there was no relevant difference between those two and his client, and therefore they're similarly situated. Why isn't that a prima facie case?
Several reasons, Your Honor. Those individuals were higher than Mr. Stinnett on the exam, and that this court held in Jones versus Springfield, that alone renders them not similarly situated. In addition, the conditions under which...
Well, they were the two highest, and he was third, right?
He's next. During the rest of 2007, he's similarly situated because he's the next person on the list.
But it's
not below a cutoff point. They just take it in order, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And if they had been planning to hire more than... to promote more than two, and they had the money to do it, and they didn't do it, they stopped short... Why isn't that suspicious?
Well, there are several.
And there were open positions.
Yes, Your Honor, several reasons. The decision had already been made to give a new promotional exam prior to implementing those final two promotions of Mr. Byrne and Cavaney. And Deputy Fire Commissioner Noy testified it was long-standing traditional.
Why did they stop with those two and not take a third?
Well, you always have to draw the line somewhere when you're giving.
But why did they draw it there?
Because the exam had already been announced prior to the time.
But according to Mr. Fox, it's just a month. They knew that it was just a month later. So what had happened during that month, or why was that month significant?
Because the exam at that point had already been announced and was going to be given in the very following weeks. The exam was the first portion of it was March 27th.
Following week, the week after these two were promoted?
Within weeks of when these two were promoted, within the following five weeks.
Why'd they promote those two? Why didn't they wait? If the exam was coming up in a couple of weeks, why did they jump ahead and promote these fellows?
Perhaps this would help, Your Honor. It wasn't just those two who were promoted in February. It's undisputed that the fire department makes one round of promotions per year, but that's not just for the rank of field officer. That's across all the ranks. So the February promotions were set underway back in November of 2006 for across the ranks, for paramedics, for ambulance commanders, for field officers, for exempt positions.
Well, wasn't the new testing planning underway at that same time?
The new testing, the fire department began back in 2005 trying to create a new exam. And the exam was not ready yet in 2006. Deputy Fire Commissioner Noy testified that he didn't want to make any more promotions from the old list in 2006. However, the exam wasn't ready yet, and there was, again, openings across all of the ranks. So the fire department underwent one final round of promotions across ranks.
So why did they stop with two for this ambulance commander position?
Because at the time they put in in for those final round of promotions in November 2006, all the way up through the time of the promotions themselves in February 2007, there were only two vacancies. There were not three. The third one did not come open until March 1st of 2007. By then, the new exam had been announced and was about to be administered on March 27th. The fire department...
When was that third promotion made?
That third promotion was made eventually in January of 2008 with all the other openings.
You're talking about March 2007. Now, when was the promotion made?
The third field officer vacancy, Your Honor, was not filled until
ambulance commander. Wasn't that what we're talking about?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I believe we were talking about the field officer. Mr. Stinnett was trying to be promoted into the rank of field officer.
All right. So how long before that third position was filled?
It was from March to January, so approximately 10 months between when it was eventually filled. It was filled with along with the other 10 vacancies that had accrued from March 1st until the time that the new list finally was posted. The exam was administered in 2007 in March and in April, but it was not finally, the old list was not finally taken down until January of 2008. In the interim, from March 1st through January 2008, a number of vacancies accrued, approximately 10 vacancies. All of those were filled together as soon as the old list came down and the new list was posted. And those were filled together in March of 2008 from the new 2007 list.
So was he still eligible?
No, because the fire department had made the decision when it decided to give a new exam to stop using the old list.
Well, did he take the new exam?
He did take the new exam, but he did not perform. He scored 47th out of 54. I believe it was 47th, but he did not perform as highly as he had on the old list.
Ms. Layden, can you help clarify something I was asking Mr. Fox a few minutes ago about your argument that Noy did not know who was next on the list or the race of the persons who were next on the list? He says that Noy did know that. Mm-hmm. Could you respond?
Yes, Your Honor. That's not correct. At the time the decision was made to implement the new exam, to give a new exam, and at the time the decision was made to make one final round of promotions, Mr. Noy did not know who Mr. Byrne and Mr. Cavaney were, let alone that Mr. Stinnett was the next one on the list. Now, that was, again, 2005 was when the talks began to give a new exam. 2006 was when they put in for the final promotions in November. December was when they announced the new exam. And by then, the decision was made to only fill the vacancies that existed.
And what is there a document in which the that decision to stop using the 2000 list was made?
No, Your Honor. There's no document, but there's no official date, but Deputy Fire Commissioner Noy testified that it was longstanding fire department practice that when the decision is made to give a new exam, that the intent is to not make more promotions from the old list, but to use the new list as soon as it is viable. And for that, I would urge the court to look at Mr. Noy's deposition testimony. Mr. Stinnett's counsel points to a grievance in January 2007 that Mr. Stinnett filed. That grievance did not claim that he was passed over for discriminatory reasons. He claimed that he was next on the list and that the new exam was discriminatory. It didn't mention that because of his race he felt it was discriminatory. He just said it was discriminatory. But even assuming that Deputy Fire Commissioner Noy had received that in January 2007, that postdated the decision to give a new exam and to make no further promotions from the old list after that final round, which was already in the works.
When was the final decision made to promote these other two fellows in February of 2007?
Well, that was in November 2006 when the fire department put in the A forms to begin the process to make their promotions. Now, the process, it's undisputed, is first the fire department seeks approval from other departments, the Office of Budget Management and the Department of Human Resources. Once those departments sign off, then the fire department's notified. In this case, that didn't happen. The final sign-off didn't occur until January 2007. So at that point, then the fire department obtains the names from the city's, from the fire department's labor relations division. So it was only in January 2007 that the fire department learned who was going to be next on the list, that it was going to be Mr. Byrne and Mr. Cavaney. They didn't know at the time that they put in.
Where is this list? You said it's taken down. Is it physically posted so that people know who's on it?
I think that's more of a euphemism. I believe that people within the fire, like the individuals themselves, know where
on
they fall.
On the list, yeah.
They know where they fall on the list. But
they'd watch that very closely, presumably.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it is within the control of the Department of Human Resources. It's not actually the fire department's list. It's a different city department that controls the list, the promotional list. Okay. So the names were obtained from that list at the time, and that's when Mr. Noy first found out who was going to be promoted. He didn't know Mr. Stinnett was next when they decided to make one final round of promotions.
Let me just ask you, if the city had responded to Mr. Stinnett's grievance in January by saying, oh, gee, you're right, we need to make some race-conscious decisions because we haven't promoted enough African-American or other minorities to this field officer position. So we're going to take a peek at the list, make some promotions. We're going to change our policy to accomplish that. Would you have faced litigation from the folks who scored well in the 2007 exam?
We might very well, or from the people that were beneath Mr. Stinnett on the 2000 list, because they could have made, the line has to be drawn somewhere, and they could, if we had made a special round of promotion just for Mr. Stinnett, because it would have been just his name on that promotional roster, then nothing would have prevented the people that were beneath him on the list from making the same claim. Vacancies accrued before they could promote from the 2007 list. Why weren't they promoted? And the line, again, has to be drawn somewhere, and Mr. Stinnett has no evidence that the reason the city chose to draw the line where it was is because of his race. Unless there are further questions, we respectfully request that this court affirm the district court's judgment.
Thank you, Ms. Layton. So, Mr. Fox, your time expired. You can have another minute if you'd like.
I'll just say a couple things real quickly. The city did what they wanted to do arbitrarily. When they did promote in 2008, there were 10 off the new list. There were 10 positions available. This is undisputed. They promoted 11 people. That's undisputed. That's what they did in 2008.
How did that work?
I'm sorry.
How did that work?
I don't know.
An extra?
Well, I don't know. That's what they did though. Tasneem Shaker was Noy's. Another point. Tasneem Shaker was Noy's assistant. She put together the promotional plans, gathering together the names of the positions available and the names of the people that were next in line. Her promotion plan was deleted, so we never was able to get a copy of that. And then, finally, as far as the timing goes, Commissioner Noy didn't issue the order for the promotions of the two white folks got promoted until February 10th of 07. So even though they want to say the promotion was started, he had decided not to, according to his previous story, he had decided not to do any more promotions 2 months earlier when he decided to give the new test. So I just want to say this because they manipulate the system any way they want to manipulate it, and that's what happens.
Okay, well, thank you very much to Mr. Fox and Mr. Leighton. The next case.